being here at Mount Pleasant. And I appreciate the good choir, and I appreciate the good singing by the Suttle family. They're going to sing one song. And I want you to have your Bible open at John chapter 8. And we're going to read that just after they finish. And I believe God will speak to your heart. I'm going to speak about the new age that they call a movement that's very dangerous. And you need to know about the new movement. It's the Eastern religions. And it's invaded at least five great countries. And it's very deceptive and it's wrong. And it's the preacher's responsibility to expose that which is wrong. I know. It's a preacher's responsibility. Now before the Suttles come sing that song, let me thank you for the offering. But I won't say, I ask you to do one other thing about the offering. That didn't relieve you today. Sometime today, I don't care whether it's this afternoon or tonight, before you go to bed, will you get out on your knees and pray that God will take that offering and that somebody out there on the super slab will hear and be saved because you gave. Will you do that? Now, if we can get enough people praying, boy, I believe God, you know, we can give and I can preach, but unless God does it, folks, it won't be done. I know. If God doesn't do it, it won't be done. And that's why I want you to really pray. Now, here's the Suttle family. They're coming back to sing. And I know Brother Jackson's been a blessing. Boy, I like that wading out deeper, didn't you? Bless God, some of these Baptists never got their toe wet, much less got deep enough with God. But it's all good, and I appreciate them coming and singing. They're going to sing, then I'll bring you the message, Brother. Boy, the Lord stirred me in that good singing, and I want you to know I got a promise. I might not see some of you over here again, but glory to God, there's another shore. I'll meet you on that everlasting shore over yonder. Amen. You say, how will I know it's Brother Mays? I'll holler so loud, brother. You'll know. Amen. And what a blessing it is. Now, let me just say to some of the preachers that might get this tape, if you'd like to have the Suttle family, he didn't know I was going to say this, but if you'll write to Jack Suttles in Clendenin, West Virginia, I believe it's the place, isn't it, Brother Jack? You can contact him. They'll be glad to come to your church. Of course, if you don't like shouting and praising God, you oughtn't to get them. Say amen. You want them dry-eyed Baptists, I'll tell you, I don't imagine they'd care too much about coming. But I would that some of you that'll get the tape, if you wanted it, or if you want them to come, you can contact Brother Jack Suttles, Clendenin, West Virginia. All right, I want you to look this way, and then I'm going to have you stand in a moment for the reading of the scripture, and I'll not preach long, but I want you to get the message. On April 25th, 82, something shocked the whole world as far as the four countries that this great or this big high price ad appeared in the New York Times, a full page in the Los Angeles Times, and then I believe in London it appeared, and a big full page ad. And many people have called and written and asked about, what about the ad? Christ is now here. The Christ is now here. I took this ad and found many, many false things and how dangerous it really is and how awful it is going to be in the future when they will proceed to bring this ad to reality around the world. People in West Virginia will swallow it like that. People in Georgia, where I live, they'll swallow it. And that's the sad part. But I've taken in just five things off of this ad. I've examined it by the Word of God. And I'm going to show it to you this afternoon. And I trust that you'll pray. I believe that God will bless our hearts. You have your Bible open. John chapter 8. Would you please stand with me, please, for the reading of the Scripture. Let me say again, thank you for coming and being with us in the rally service here in West Virginia, Elk View. West Virginia, Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, Brother David Pence, the pastor. And I appreciate being in this good church. I want to say to you folks that, well, get the tape. You ought to have been here when the Lord blessed my soul. Of course, he's blessed me so many times this week, I wouldn't know what night to tell you to be here. Amen? Praise God. I'll tell you, I believe in getting something every time you go. I know some people, brother, they don't ever get blessed till September. Every year, annually. Praise God. I hate to be in one of them annual jobs. I get blessed every Sunday and every night. Amen. I believe that's the way God would have it. The chapter of the book of John. You know, I tell young converts to read this 8th chapter. And it's a great chapter because in the midst of it, after Jesus had, forgiven that woman that was taken in adultery, and after Jesus had given the discourse about being the light of the world, and then there's a bunch of false religionists that come up, and they begin to discuss with him some things. And I want you to see what they... Verse 36, if you have your Bible open, this is quoted by many preachers today, and it's a great verse. If the Son therefore sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're of Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. You see, that religious crowd wanted to do away. They said, we're religious. We got a good idea. We've got a good theology. And that Jesus said, you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my Father. And you do that which you've seen of your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were of Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now notice, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now notice what Jesus said here. At verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil. I want to stop there just a minute. And Jesus didn't mince any words about this false religion, Pharisees and hypocrites. He said, ye are of your father the devil. They were the most religious people in the days of the Lord. And just because a man's religious doesn't mean that he's right. Like our brother here, some missionary to the Mormons. They're religious, but they're not right. They're teaching falsehood. And we could just go on and talk about the falsehood today. But look at what the scripture said. Verse 44, Jesus looked him straight in the face and said, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar than the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, I'm going to stop right there, but I've read you several verses of Scripture here about the rebuke that Jesus gave to that religious crowd that he said, I know you talk about being of Abraham. He said, I know that you have a little theology here about your father and that you think that you're right. But said, you'll kill me. He said, you're going to kill me. And brother, let me say this. Religion and sin kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's never been popular, never will be popular, to be opposing some false religion. And this ad that was in April 25th, 1982, a full-page ad, is filled with falsehood. I'll just give you five of those today. I trust you'll pray. If you will, I want you to be seated all over the house. I want you to bow your head for just a word of prayer. I'm going to pray, get right into the message, and I want you to pray that God will speak to hearts, not only here in the auditorium, Mount Pleasant, but everyone that shall get to thee. Father, I want to thank you for the Lord Jesus. I'm glad for thee, Christ, the living Christ. I'm glad that, praise God, we know him. And because we know him today, we can say that one day he's coming back for us. And I pray that we'll not be deceived and we'll not be hoodwinked by the false religions of the Eastern world and all of this about new thought and all of this about meditation and love and peace and justice when it's a substitute for the things of God. I pray today that we may see the fallacy and the error and the big lie that this newspaper ad spread across the nations. Oh God, may we see the fallacy of it all. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to everyone, and we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you on the big lie. But before I get into the message, let me say I thank God for the truth. This is the truth, the Word of God. I'm glad Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you know Him, you have truth personified. Thank God I don't have to go out looking for truth. Man said to me the other day, said, I'm looking for light. I said, I don't have to look for light. I found Him, and He found me. And praise God, I have the light of the world. I have the truth because Jesus Christ is the truth. And I do not care whether it's in an ad that says, now the Christ is here, or whether it's a false religion. My friend, all of these are counterfeits. Counterfeits for the real and the genuine. I'm glad I was brought up in a home, listen to me, where my mother told me about the Lord Jesus Christ, where my mother would open up her little Bible and she'd say, son, this is God's word. If you believe it, you'll never go wrong. And I was taught the truth. And when somebody comes out with a big lie, even though it's religious, even though it spreads across the country, I'm glad I know that's a counterfeit. And if I had time on this Sunday afternoon, I'd give you some counterfeits. There's a counterfeit gospel. Oh, mister, listen to me. There's a lot of people preaching, and they're not preaching the gospel. They're not standing for the Word of God in these days. We've got the modernistic gospel. Do the best you can. Be humanitarian, and you'll go to heaven. That's a lie, mister. You don't go to heaven by being the best you can. You don't go to heaven, bless your heart, by doing what you think's right. You go to heaven because you have an encounter with the Son of God, and you're changed by the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're born from above. You're changed by the blood and the grace of God. But this is a counterfeit. And when you talk about this big lie, it's being, I guess, advertised and promoted by a man in England, in London. And I was there a few days. I couldn't get a hold of him. But listen to what his name is. His name is Benjamin Krim. Do not forget that name. Benjamin Krim, C-R-E-M-E. It's like cream, but you pronounce it Krim. He's what we call a man from London, a man that pushes new thought, a man that says there's going to be a new age when everything's going to be godly and everybody's going to love and the world is going to become a utopia. Now that sounds good, but it's a big lie because that's not what's going to happen. This whole sin-cursed world is headed for the judgment of God Almighty, and this world is going to be judged by the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 17 said, all judgment has been given unto him. And after that judgment, let me say this to you. There will be a utopia on earth. There will be a 1,000 years millennial. Boy, you talk about a time. I can't wait till the Bible said the crooked places will be made straight. Some of you Baptists won't be straightened out till the 1,000 years reigns. Amen. But brother, that's going to be a time. Every man will sit on his fig tree. And the Bible said the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There'll be no hunger. There'll be no war. That we'll learn war no more. And the devil will be bound. I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Somebody wrote me up at Knoxville. I've been on radio there for 40 years. Every day. And somebody in Knoxville, Tennessee said, you're a false prophet. The devil's already bound. I said, if that's right, bud, he's got a big chain, a long chain. Because everywhere I go, I run into him. But just as sure as you're in this house, and my name's Brother Mays, Benjamin Krim is promoting this false Christ and this new age theory that's going to deceive multitudes. But I want you to note something. I looked and found 5 things wrong with this ad. 5 false things. If you'd like to write them down, write them down. First of all, here is this big lie contains a false prophet. Now any man that comes and said, I am the Christ. Now Jesus is not going to come walking down this aisle. And Jesus is not going to set up headquarters over here in a place like Charleston, West Virginia, put a little dunce hat on and say, I am the Christ. The next time we see him, he'll be in the air in the rapture. He'll be up there in the clouds. He went away in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. And that's the way I'm going to see him. But you say, preacher, when will the world see Jesus?
Jesus next time. Let me give you some. The last time the world saw Jesus, you know where it was? He's on the cross. Did you know that the world did not see Jesus after the resurrection? But you're on the cross. The world looked at Jesus the last time. And the next time they'll see him, he'll come in power and great glory. Woo! Boy, that blesses me. And the Bible said he'll make the earth his footstool, and every knee shall bow. Now this is the teaching of the Word of God. But notice here, this big lie contains a false prophet. Here's what it said. The Christ is not here. Write it down. Mark chapter 13, verse 22 said, and there will come false Christ and false prophets, saying, I am the Christ, I am the prophet. And Jesus said, seducing many. In other words, deceiving many. You'd be surprised if that man would appear. Here in Upview, how many people would follow that man and that false prophet? That's sad, mister, that we've got people today who've been brought up around the Bible that would be swayed. I told my wife, I said, if I ever meet one of those false Christs, I don't know how to find out these folks. She said, how? I said, I'm going to pop him on the jaw. And she said, well, why would that prove? I said, if you don't turn the other cheek, I'll know he's false. Praise God. Now, listen, somebody said, preacher, my Bible said in that last day that there would be those that would come and they would say, I am the Christ. Now, there's two things about this man I want to give you about this false prophet, this false Christ that's going to be revealed according to Benjamin Krim. Number one, he says he has an everlasting body. They say, he said, you can shoot me and there won't even be a hole in me and I won't die. The second thing that he proclaims is that he has an eternal spirit. According to this eternal spirit in a human body. You know what that is? That's a mockery of the incarnation of the Son of God. I want to tell you the only incarnation there is that's real and genuine. 1900 years ago, a little virgin went down into the land of motherhood. And by the Holy Ghost, brother, there was a seed planted, and I'm glad there was a child born under that virgin, and she was to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And brother, you hear me? At night, the great heavenly choir stood over that shepherd's field and said, fear not, Christ the Lord. Brother, listen, that's the real incarnation. And any man that comes and says he's an eternal spirit, and that he has been living for centuries, and that he's an incarnation of Christ, my Bible said he's a false prophet and a false Christ, and be not deceived. Let me give you one thing, and I have to hurry on. Up in New York City several years ago, there's one of those old quacks, and he got him a little suitcase and a Bible. He walked out on the plateau of his hotel, and he announced, I'm the Christ. And boy, everybody said, you reckon he is? And he had a, you know, some preachers gagged me about this too. He had, you know, one of those monotone voices. And a lot of preachers say, now, when I preach, I got to come down, you know. You know, you never believe this, and I never tell this. I took speech 2 years in college. And they told me how to breathe and all that. And I said to the speech teacher, how, what you going to do if the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you? He said, I never thought about that. But oh, you hear me. I want to tell you something. This monotone thing. You hear some preachers, when they pray, they change their voice. When they preach, they change their voice. I want to say to you, listen to me. Up there several years ago in New York City, a fellow came out with a monotone voice, and he said, I am the Christ. And he said, blessed are the meek. And boy, people with the thousands ran out to under that platform and said, he is. Yeah, I'm sure he's the Christ. But a little Salvation Army band director got his band together, went out there and said, children, you strike up a tune when he comes out tonight, and we'll find out if he's the Christ. And when that guy came out and held out his hands, he said, I am the Christ. And when he held his hands out, they started playing, you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. He grabbed that suitcase, and I haven't seen him since. Amen! Just as sure as you're in my house. My name's Brother Mays. The first false thing, it promotes a false prophet. Secondly, it promotes false prosperity. Do you know what this ad says? It said, everybody, no more hunger. Everybody will be rich. Now, I would that could be so. But it isn't so. Jesus said, You'll have the poor with you always. And brother, you can put it down. There'll be no great prosperity until sin is removed. There'll be no great prosperity until we live in the righteousness kingdom of the Son of God. We'll always have poor folks. My daddy taught me something that, this is not Christian. I mean, you'd say it could be Christian, but here's what he said. He said, son, I'll whip you when I was a little boy. He said, I'll wear you out. If you ever pass a person up on the street that's ragged and not speak to them, boy, I want to tell you something. My daddy said, if you ever pass a black man or any man and doesn't if you don't reverence that person, boy, I'll wear you out. And when my daddy was lying corpse, you should have seen the black people and the poor people that walked by his casket. You said there was a friend. Oh, you say, I don't like that. Boy, I like that. I tell you, if you're so high-minded and so proud and stuck up because you got a better car, or brother, you've got a better suit of clothes on, you know what you need? You need to come this altar and say, bless God, till you get something, and forget your pride and your haughty spirit and his sadness. Some of the sweetest people I've ever seen have been poor people. And if I get up and say everybody's going to be rich, this new Christ, this false prophet, is going to give a false prosperity. But let me say this, there'll be no real prosperity as long as you have the clash between capital and labor. And as long as this world's controlled by sin and by evil. But I've got something good for everybody here. If you're a Christian, God's going to take care of you. Woo! Praise God. Somebody said they're going to be locked. I'm afraid there'll be a lot more laid off. Now, I'm afraid a lot of you folk up here are going to be laid off, but you hear me. You turn over there and put your finger on Philippians 4:19, where it said, but my God shall supply all of your need. Now, my trouble is my need is bigger. My want is bigger than my need. Say amen right there. Sometimes I want more than I need. But God said, Maze, I'll tell you what. You don't have to worry, son. I ever need you have, I will supply. I believe that. I believe that, brother. I believe it just as much as I'm standing this pulpit. But God didn't say, Mace Jackson, I'll make you rich. He said, I'll supply your need. Here's a man with a false prosperity. And he said, there'll be no more hunger. And brother, there'll be a world of plenty. I want to tell you something, that's a falsehood today. You put that down, that's a falsehood. There'll always be poor folks. There'll always be those that don't have much. There'll always be little hungry kids. There'll always be those that have a hard time financially. I want to give you something. This will help you. I was home one night. I got up and God told me to go in the bedroom with my boys and they're small. And I looked at him and I said, boys, thanks to Calvary, you never went to bed hungry. Thanks to Calvary, you've always had nice little trousers to wear. Thanks to Calvary, you've always had shoes to wear. I want to tell you everything I've ever had, brother. You know why? It's because of Jesus. It's not because of my name being Mace Jackson. It's not because I'm a preacher. But it's because Jesus Christ said, Mace, I'll supply your need according to my riches in glory for Christ Jesus. And what a blessing. So the first falsehood in the big lie, there's a false prophet. And he's called the man that is now the Christ. He's false. Secondly, there's a false prosperity. And then third, there's a false program offered of brotherhood. A false program. Let me tell you, you cannot legislate and force love. It don't come that way. You can't make me love you if I don't want, and I can't make you love me. But I want to tell you, when you get saved and your brother's in the Lord Jesus Christ, bless God, there's a love that flows from your breast to my breast. And there's a love that we'll have one for another. But this fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man, mess is false. How don't you know Jesus said to those people that day, ye of your father the devil, and until a man's been saved, are you listening to me? Until a man's been saved, he's not my brother. Until a woman's been saved, she's not my sister. But thank God when you get saved, you're in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now listen to what this ad says. It says, we'll have a worldwide brotherhood. They will all speak the same language. Well, that's wrong. Well, you folks couldn't talk like me to save your life. I don't care how many false Christs. You couldn't talk Georgia. Hey, man, you couldn't talk like I talk. I can't talk like West Virginia. I tell you, I just, and you know, he said, we'll make everybody talk alike. And everybody be just a brothers. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That'd be great. But that's a lie. You see, that's a false brotherhood. He said, we'll all learn how to live and get along in harmony. I doubt that. Well, you can't even get a Baptist church to live and get along in harmony, much less, bless God, the world out here. Amen. Say amen. Some of you look at your wife. You don't even get along in harmony in the house. Amen. Some of you men are so henpecked, you have to raise your hand before you get a glass of water. Say amen. That's the first time Dale's laughed since I've been here all week. But that's so. Are you listening to me? Praise God, I tell you. And I tell you why we've got so much trouble today. In our homes, we, you know, who's, you know, the woman leads the man around by the nose. And bless God, the man's not the head of the house. And you'll get in trouble there. I mean, some of you bossy wives, you better listen to this and put her down. The Bible said, as Christ is the head of the church, so is the man head of the house. And the Bible says, after the curse fell upon woman. Do you know what that curse was that fell upon woman? The Bible said twofold. Said in childbirth, you'll suffer bringing that child in this world. Nobody but a mother knows what I'm talking about. No man in this house knows what I'm talking about. Only a mother knows what it is. I know someone will tell you something quickly. The second thing God said in that curse, not only mother, woman, would you bring a child in pain and feeling sorrowful, but said your husband shall have R-U-L-E, rule over you. Now, I didn't put that in the Bible. God put it in there. So you women that want to boss around, bless God, you'll have to take your Bible and mark it out. I can see some of you can't wait to get home to scratch it out. Say amen right there. But just as sure as your name's what it is, my name's Brother Mays. We can't even have brotherhood in the home anymore. It's sad, it's sad. I used to have a fella, used to come to my church, his name is King. And he's a great big old tall guy. I told this fella right over here, big tall guy. And he had a wife named Ina. And I'd be up preaching, I was pastoring, I said, now listen, Tuesday night I've got to speak in Springfield, South Carolina. And Thursday night, I'll be speaking in Camden, South Carolina. I want somebody to drive my car. And King had always come up, big old fucking guy. I said, King, can you drive my car Tuesday and Thursday night? He said, well, if it's the Lord's will. I said, go ask Ines and find out if it's God's will and come back and tell me. And he'd go over and say, honey. And you know what she'd say? She'd say, no, you can't. And he'd come up just sheepish and say, Brother Mays, it ain't the Lord's will. Buddy, I was preaching one Sunday in my church, and old King sitting over the right over there. And I was preaching on the home. I said, King! I said, you go home and tell Inez up where you live on that hill. Bless God, who's the boss, and you'll get along a lot better. I went up on Monday morning to get some bread and milk at the store. And I went in Nelson's store right up above our church to get some milk and bread. And King came in with a big patch over his eye. And I said, what's the matter, you King? You know what he said? He said, it may work up there in the pulpit, but it don't work up there, bless God, where I live. Oh, are you listening to me? When you talk about this eternal brotherhood, there's no such thing. You can't even have brotherhood in the home. Not in the church, it ought to be so because of the believers. But here's an ad that said, we'll make the world a big brotherhood. It's a false promise. And now come to the third thing. Listen to me. There's a false program. It's going to be initiated all over this world. And you say, preacher, what is it? It's a formula for truth to set men free. Now, this man, Benjamin Krim, says in a few weeks or a couple of years, at the longest, there will come a man. And he lives in London, and he's of the old Eastern religion descent. And by nature, or nationality, he's an Indian. They say he's from India, and they say that he can pull fire down, and they say that he can walk on the water. I said, they say it. I didn't say I believe it. I said, they say that he can perform miracles. I said, they said. Now, don't you go out here and say I said it. I'll tell you, I do not believe it, but I know that after the rapture, the Antichrist will have such power. And you better watch some of these guys today claiming all these miracles. Brother, they'll deceive you just as sure as your name's what it is. And just as sure as you're in this house, brother. We need to know what the Word says and settle this thing down. And you say, preacher, they say he'll bring a truth that the world's never known before. A new truth! And brother, you watch it. You don't need a new gospel. You don't need a new truth. Man, if I hear a man preaching a new truth, I'm leery of him. Because when I hear a man preach, you know where I like to see him go? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and say, I declare unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ. How what happened? How Christ did three things. That he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Number two, that he was buried according to the scriptures. And number three, he was raised according to the scriptures. And Paul said, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you hear a man preaching any other gospel, it's not truth. I'm sticking by the blood and the book and the blessed hope. And brother, that's the truth of God. This man's going to circle the truth, and people are searching for truth. You don't have to search for truth. All you got to do is receive it. And what a wonderful thing it is to have the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Now, because of time, I've got to hurry. I want to come to the fifth thing that I found in this ad that was false, and he offers a false peace. P-E-A-C. Listen, peace. He says, we'll do it. Won't be no more war. He says, I'll see that there'll be no third world war. Now, how foolish that is. There's going to be a war over yonder mountains. It is for one of these days. And brother, just as sure as you hear, it's going to happen when Russia, the northern kingdom, the bear, comes down on little Israel. God said, I'll put hooks in her jaws, and it'll take 7 months to bury the dead. That's what God said. That's where your war's going to happen. That's where the nuclear explosion will take place, in the mountains of Israel. The other day I came down through the mountains of Israel. I went over to where Syria is here. Lebanon is here. And I went to the place where the troops crossed over to go to Beirut. All of the Israeli soldiers crossed there. And I stood there the other day. While others were talking, I said, Lord, this is not what men think it is. This is just an appetizer. Whoa! I said, this is to get ready for that great war. That war that'll happen when called the war when Russia shall come down. And by the way, that's not the Battle of Armageddon. This is the war between Russia and Israel. And it could happen before the rapture. I used to preach it couldn't happen before the rapture, but this one could. Russia could come on down from Afghanistan on down into the mountains of Israel. And brother, there'll be an explosion. But here's what this false Christ, he says, I'll give you peace. But the fifth thing, write it down, it's a false peace. It's a false peace. Any man that lives outside of this Bible and claims any other thing for peace than the peace that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a false peace. I'm glad I have peace with God through faith by grace in Jesus. That's a peace, brother. I made peace with God. The night God saved me, I made peace with God. There are three kinds of peace mentioned in the Bible. There's the peace, listen, the Christian has. Did you know, let me give you something quickly. Then I'm going to have to close in a minute. But you listen to me. There's a peace that you have that nobody else has. I mean, there's a peace that you have when that phone rings and they say, Mama dropped dead. And they don't understand you. When you go down to a funeral home and you've got that tranquility and your sisters don't understand you. They call you old fogey and going crazy over religion. Oh, you hear me? There's a peace, brother. There's a peace. I had a funeral down in Atlanta, and I told my wife, I said, I don't know what we're going to do with Helen. I don't know what we're going to do with her. We loved her daddy so much. And I said, she's going to make a scene, so she wants to go up to that casket. And I don't want her to go up there, and I didn't want to be mean. But I said, I don't want her to go up there. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I tried to discourage her, and she still wants to go. So when I got through preaching her dad's funeral, he got up and just as peaceful went over and looked at her daddy and said, Daddy, you've been good to me. Daddy, I want to tell you, I've got the sweetest peace I've ever had. Daddy, because he lives. I'll see you again. And brother, she turned around at that church.